Welcome. It's Sunday, September 25th, 2022. Our scripture this week is Luke 16:19 through 31. Our message this week I have titled Clueless. So if you would, please open your Bibles to Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. This is the rich man and Lazarus. So starting at verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Well, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Well, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." Well, he answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever noticed that some people are absolutely clueless about some very important things? Now, my wife, Bonnie, doesn't complain often, but once we were having a heart-to-heart talk, she said, "Joe, you never listen to me. Every time I try to talk to you, you get this faraway look in your eyes after only a few seconds. Please promise me you'll try to work on that." Well, the last thing I remembered saying was, "I'm sorry. What was that you were saying?" Well, shame on me. Of course, many wives would allege that their husbands are clueless. One woman said that she and her husband were snuggled together on the floor one chilly winter evening watching television. During a commercial break, she says he reached down and gave her foot a gentle squeeze. She said, "That's so sweet." Actually, he admitted sheepishly, "I thought your foot was a remote." Well, according to Pastor Rick Warren, there's a little structure deep in our brainstem called the reticular activating system. The reticular activating system is our brain's filter. It allows us to filter through all the sensory stimuli we receive and focus on what is important to us. The reticular activating system allows us to filter out the hum of the air conditioner, the itchy sweater we're wearing, or the flickering lights overhead, so that we can focus on the pastor's message. Now, there are three types of information that are so important that they automatically get through our built-in filter. The three types that get through are things that are unique, things that we value, and things that we find threatening. For instance, let's say you are in an important business meeting. You are focusing with all your concentration on your boss's speech, and suddenly someone behind you drops the coffee pot. You would almost certainly notice the coffee pot crashing to the floor, because this would be both unique and threatening to you. Or let's say you are working on a big project at home when you hear a little squeal come from your baby's room. You notice that small sound because you are automatically attuned to your baby. She is valuable to you. Therefore, you notice anything connected to her. And all of this is due to the reticular activating system. Well, Jesus' audience at this time was not the 12 disciples, but the Pharisees. Last week, if you remember in Luke 16, we read The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. That was in verse 14. Well, their reticular activating system was activated. They were sneering at him because of what he told his disciples in verses 10 through 13. Let me remind you. Luke 16, verses 10 through 13. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Well, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Well, their reticular activating system was activated because it was unique in its point of view, but also threatening in its teaching. If followed, it would reveal how clueless they were about the needs of those around them. It would change how they viewed the values of their lives. So Jesus told them a parable about a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in absolute luxury. Because their reticular activating system was activated, and as I hope yours is also. So let's take a closer look at this parable today. At the rich man's gate lay a beggar named Lazarus. Well, Lazarus was covered with sores, and he longed to eat even the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. And he lay there day after day in misery. Dogs came and licked his sores. So every day, when the rich man left his estate, he had to pass by Lazarus. Do you think he ever paid attention to Lazarus? I doubt it. His reticular activating system probably filtered this poor man out of the scene. Lazarus was a nobody in a rich man's world. If he was noticed at all, it was probably an object of disgust. It's interesting, though, in Jesus' parable, we know Lazarus' name. We don't know the rich man's name. Guess who counts in God's reticular activating system? However, there came a time when the rich man did notice Lazarus. The time came when the beggar died. And Jesus said, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Well, the rich man also died, said Jesus. But he didn't go to Abraham's side. Instead, he found himself in hell. And from this realm of torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away. Well, then the rich man couldn't believe his eyes. There at Abraham's side was this poor beggar who had lain outside his gate. This man of no importance, this man of no consequence, Lazarus. But while the rich man languished in hell, Lazarus was in glory. Now this is a parable. Let me repeat, this is a parable. We should not take this as a little picture of heaven and hell. So we're told in this parable, the rich man could look into heaven, and he would call out to Abraham, which he did. Father Abraham, have pity on me, he cried. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. Well, the rich man still didn't get it, did he? Still clueless, he thought Lazarus ought to serve him. He was absolutely clueless about the way the kingdom of God works. So Abraham reminds the rich man that in this world he had many nice things while Lazarus had none. Besides, he says, there is a chasm between heaven and hell that cannot be bridged. In other words, it was too late for the rich man. His fate was sealed. He had turned his head too many times in ignoring the beggar at his gate. The rich man still didn't get it. He was still clueless, saying, then I beg you, Father, he cried, send Lazarus to my house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not also come to this place of torment. And Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father, Abraham, said the rich man, but if someone comes from the dead and goes to them, they will repent. And Abraham said, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. So now this is a powerful parable, and if we took it literally, It would be even be a scary parable. So let me ask you a question. Are there people in your world that you don't even see? Needy people, hurting people, people who need your attention? Mean, are you clueless about their needs? Actually, they're everywhere, aren't they? Maybe with our own family or next door or in the pew next to you. It may not be covered with sores. There may not be dogs licking their sores, but you can see the hurt in their eyes. Our reticular activating system filters them out. They're not on our radar. They can't serve our needs, so we don't even see them. It happens all the time. We're in a hurry. We got places to go, people to meet, goals to accomplish. We don't see what is right before our eyes. We're clueless about their needs. How many times have you heard someone say, "Don't tell me, I don't need to know," or "too much information"? We wish to remain clueless about the needs of those around us. We want to keep our conscience clear so our reticular activating system won't be activated. So what was Jesus trying to teach the Pharisees and us today in this parable? Maybe these were the same Pharisees that questioned him, wanting to know what was the most important commandment. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, we find that one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, and he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." I believe he was trying to teach them how to love. Because too many times the Pharisees like us remain clueless when it comes to loving God, and especially clueless when it comes to loving your neighbor as yourself. So the first thing we need to understand from this parable of the rich man and Lazarus is that love sees. The rich man passed this poor beggar day after day and never really saw him. He was clueless until it was too late. You and I, we need to train our eyes to see those around us. Being sensitive to others is not something that comes naturally to most of us. It's something at which we need to work. Being sensitive to the needs of others is something we need to work at because love sees. There's a story about a man who went to visit in a home where there were several children, and trying to relate to the kids, he asked one of the girls about her doll collection. "Which is your favorite doll?" he asked. "Promise not to laugh if I tell you," she questioned. Well, he promised not to laugh, and the little girl got up, went into another room, and brought back a worn-out, tattered doll that looked like the refugee from the trash pile. There was a crack in the arm, a missing nose, marks all over the body, and a bald head. The man did not laugh, but unable to hide his surprise, he asked, "Why do you love this one the most?" And she replied, "Because she needs it most. If I didn't love her, nobody would." Well, in the attitude of this young girl, we see a part of the teaching of this parable. God is in the lives of those who cry out to us for our love and compassion, yet we remain clueless. We miss them because we choose to miss them. We don't see them as threatening or of any value. We remain clueless because our particular activating system filters them out. Being sensitive to the needs of others is something we need to work at because love sees. The second thing that Jesus is trying to teach in this parable is that love acts. Not only did the rich man remain clueless, but not even seeing Lazarus at his gates, there's no evidence that he ever did anything to help Lazarus' situation. All he did was turn a blind eye. He was much like a young woman who about to get married who said to her mother, "I can't marry him, mother. He's an atheist and he doesn't believe there is a hell." Her mother, knowing that love acts, responded by saying, "That's all right, dear. Marry him. And between the two of us, I'm sure we can convince him. You may laugh at that, but the truth of the matter is that love acts. All too often we spend our lives doing nothing for one another. We miss the opportunity to love our neighbors as ourselves, especially when we don't tell others about God's grace and the salvation that is available to us through Christ. We choose to let them remain clueless about eternal things. Jesus was definitely teaching the Pharisees and us about love, reminding us that love sees, love acts, and love heals. How often at a funeral have we seen people torn apart with guilt? I mean, they feel guilty not because they ever said anything mean about the deceased, and certainly they had never abused their loved ones, except out of neglect. They find themselves saying, "I should have been there. I should have done this. I should have done that. I was clueless." Well, how wonderful at such a time it is to know that we were not clueless and did what we should have. We saw, we cared, and we showed our love. There is healing in such knowledge. So we have no indication that the rich man was a bad man. He was just clueless. He didn't see. He didn't act. And he probably spent eternity mumbling, "Where in the world have I been?" Clueless of what it is to love. Are you clueless of what it is to love? So please promise me you'll try to work on that. In his service, this has been Pastor Joe.